So we're in the first perek of Maseches Yesharim, coming near the end. And now we're in Aseret Yemei Teshuva. Chazal tell us that the pasuk applies to Yeshua Hashem Behimatzo, which means that there are certain times where it's more open for you to feel a closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are times when a person does tshuva, and he's trying to do tshuva, but he won't necessarily feel the closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the tshuva that he's doing to the same degree, because it's not an opportune moment for them. Sometimes you catch a person when they're in a bad mood, and you try and talk to them about a sensitive topic, and it just doesn't go. They're not in a good mood, and the topic's not going to get across. Sometimes you catch a person in a brilliant mood, and even if you weren't planning on having an in-depth conversation, but like it's an opportune moment. They're open to it. They want to share. They're having an emotional connection. This is the time where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was open. They say that Rav Shach, when he was a young boy on Yom Kippur, he was playing out, a very young boy, he was playing outside the shul, and his mother was davening in shul, and a gypsy caravan came past and kidnapped him and started driving off with little Eliezer Man Shach. And the other kids screamed and ran in and told the mother, and she started running after them and screaming, and they threw him off. And every year, I guess he was Omed al Da'ato, when he was older, every year, Motzei Yom Kippur was a time he would make a Sudas Hodaya. Because he was captured by gypsies, he would have grown up to be a gypsy. Can you imagine? The Torah world would have lost such a gadol v'Torah. So everyone knew that if you wanted a favor from Rav Shach, Motzei Yom Kippur was the time to come. Because that was his time when he had tremendous hakaras tov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for being Jewish and for having been saved. There are opportune moments when you reach someone and they just, you know, they're in a good mood, and that's a good time to. So these are days of Aseret Yemei Teshuva. Sometimes people have a view of them of being scary days and heavy days, and they do have a heaviness to them in the sense that there's an achrayas, a responsibility. But at the same time, that heaviness is coming from an opportunity that's there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reaching out to us. And learning Maseches Yesharim during these 10 days is more effective. You know, there's more of a closeness that we have with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu can reach deeper. So we're getting written close to the end. And the last point that we mentioned was that the mitzvot and fulfilling all of the mitzvot is the way that we come close to Hashem. Me'ata vadayi shadikduk shiyadukdak al inyan mitzvot v'avoida. Muchrach shiye betachlis adikduk. Kasher yudakduku shokle azahav apininim lerov yokram. There's the famous story of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai at the end of his life, when the Talmidim came to him and said to him, tell us how we can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he said, Halavad, your fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you have will be like the fear of other people. And they said, Rebbe, Ad Kan, is that all? You're saying that we should fear other people? We'll fear Hashem like we fear other people? That's like a low level. I want to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu even greater. Hashem is awesome. So he said, Halavai. You know, Halavai that Hashem would be a reality to you in the same way as other people are a reality to you. When it's clear to you that you wouldn't act in an inappropriate way because someone's watching you, it's clear to you. Even if you don't really care so much about that person, but still someone's watching, you know someone's watching, so you'd behave more appropriately. Halavai will be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, intellectually we understand Hashem's greater. But on the ground, the way that we behave, only if you're aware that someone's with you do you act in that way. Halavai, we would have the same sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us as we do when someone else is with us, to have the Yirat Shamayim. So the Maseches Yesharim is using that same concept, and he's saying, take an example from your life or from a world that you can relate to, where you know people are very careful. And what's an example of that? People who weigh gold or people who weigh pearls, they have a very special weighing device. They don't use the regular one for potatoes. They have a special one which is much more refined. And I think it's probably fair to say they do it more than once. They probably check, and then they went, 1 second, this is very precious, then let's just double check, and they check it again. Probably have a couple of checks just to make sure, because each gram, milligram, is worth a lot of money. So they want to be very, very careful. So if in areas which are physical, like gold and pearls, people, when they check, they have very refined tools, and they check a number of times to make sure that it's correct, then our inner connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be at least like that, because it's spiritual. It's more valuable, it's more precious. You know, the Gemara says that it's more severe that if a person embarrasses someone else, it's more severe than having killed them. Because if someone kills someone else, then it's only their body. If they embarrass someone else, it's taking away their neshama. And the Gemara also says that if a person is only able to save either a Rebbe or a father who wasn't a Rebbe, then should rather save the Rebbe, because the father brought one into this world and the Rebbe brought one into a spiritual world. Meaning we're aware of a concept of a person has a physical life and a person has a spiritual life. And the halacha takes note of that and says that a person's spiritual life should be to them more significant as what they call their life than their physical life. It's more who you define who you are. My spiritual father is my Rebbe more than my father if he's not also. If he's also a Rebbe, my Rebbe, if he's also learned Torah from a father, then he gets both. But if it's a father who I didn't learn anything from versus a Rebbe who I learned from, because one's physical life is a lower level, a lower form of life, but one's spiritual life is a higher form. So if it's obvious to a person that when he has something very precious, gold, pearls, that he would weigh it and double weigh it, that's only something physical. How much more so when it comes to Avodas Hashem should a person, and all he's suggesting here is just that you do a cheshbon nefesh, and you check who you are. What you come to that will be the connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But just be aware and sensitive to how much you have to be refining and checking yourself. Ki told otam, because the end result that you'll get from having refined yourself and come close to Hashem, b'shleimus amiti v'yakar nitzri she'en yakar lemala menu. Because we're building a recognition of the spiritual world being the real world. That's my real world is not my physical world. My physical world of my home and my car and my clothes and my body, those things are important and I have to take care of them in order that I can function. But that's not what I define my real self to be. I had a friend called Johnny, his name will come to me later. I was with him and someone asked him, he lived in your part of the world.
Spector?
Yeah, Johnny Spector. That's right, Johnny Spector. So someone asked him, what do you do? So he said, he did something, he had a Kirov house in your neighborhood, right?
He was our youth leader.
He was a youth leader doing Kirov in the community. So he said, oh, that's nice that you do that. So they said, anything else? So he said, yeah, I learned. And he started like saying his Haruta that he learns with and his Daf Yomi Shiur, whatever he was doing, his learning. And they go, so what do you do for a living? He says, I'm a lawyer. He's a lawyer, right? I think he's a lawyer. So I think, exactly. Don't even know that. So that was the point, that someone would first come out and say, oh, yeah, I practice law. That's who I am. That's my lawyer. But for him, it was number 3 or 4 on the list. Meaning he had a list of defining who he was and the cure of work that he was doing of helping other Jews and his learning of Torah and his family. That was how he was defining himself. And the fact that to make money, he's a lawyer, but who cares? That's not significant. Okay, I have to have money, so I work and I happen to be a lawyer. But that doesn't define me. That doesn't make it my essence of who I am. It's number 3 or 4 on the list. So over here, there are certain things that people would say that's what makes me what I am. And we're looking from a spiritual perspective, from an honest, authentic perspective. We're saying you have different elements of yourself. There are different parts of you. So when you're saying, who am I? Then make an order of priorities. And the order of priorities should be, number one, my connection with Hashem. That's number one, where I am. You know, when Mashiach comes, I can just imagine, when someone asks you, how are you? Then you're going to take that question to mean, where are you holding spiritually? Right now, if I would ask him, how are you? You would say, I don't have a cold. Baruch Hashem, I'm feeling fine. That's where you would take it. Meaning, how are you is taken on a physical level. Right? Sometimes if a person's like shaken emotionally, they might take it to I'm feeling down. But rarely would you ask a person, how are you? And they would say, I'm struggling with this Avera. You know, or I'm working on this Middah and it's going really well, Baruch Hashem. Like I'm seeing advancement in this Middah. Like rare is it with their person would say, how are you? And the you is their spiritual growth. Who knows, in Yemosa Mashiach, that's what the Or HaGanuz was, where you're able to see the essence of what the person really is. Someone will say, how are you? And you know, if it's someone who really cares, not just someone who's asking just to be polite, then you'll say, like, this is where I'm holding spiritually. This is what I'm struggling with. This is where I want to grow. This is my next step in Avodas Hashem. That's who I am. If you're asking how I am, that's how I am. That's what's really, really important. So if it's important to you to be meductic in measuring physical things, then how much more so should it be careful to meductic? Nimtzeinu l'madim. What we can learn from here. And this line is potentially one of the most important lines in Masilas Yesharim. Because this is the purpose of our lives. This is the saying, why were we created? If anyone ever comes to you and says, oh, you're in yeshiva, you're Jewish, what do the Jewish people say? Why was man created? Why did God put us here on this earth? Crucial existential question of who we are, what we're about. Ki ikar mitziyut ha'adam ba'olam. Hazeh. The essence of the purpose of man, the reality of man in this world, why were we placed here, was 3 points. The 3 points why man was placed in this world. Number one, lekayem mitzvos. That one was obvious. People probably would have guessed that one. To do the will of God. Number two, la'avod. This one's very hard to understand. What is la'avod? If I would say to you, avodas Hashem, you would say to me, learning Torah. If I would say to you, avodas Hashem, you would say to me, davening. But learning Torah and davening are mitzvot. They're included in category number one of l'kayem mitzvot. So if it says here two different things, we haven't got the third one yet. But if it says two different things, the purpose of man is, number one, to do mitzvahs. And number two, la'avod. This wasn't the ethos of my school of, you know, having to Torah and Derech Eretz. Right? He's talking avod, he's talking about avodas Hashem here. So what is avod if it's not referring to a mitzvot? Like, isn't surely all avodas Hashem is included in mitzvahs? But this is huge. This takes us back to what we spoke about last week. That you can have someone who is doing all of the mitzvot, but he's not an Eved Hashem. The Gemara speaks about that. What's the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha, an Eved Hashem and an Eved Hashem? The Gemara says that you can have someone who's a tzaddik and he's an Eved Hashem, and someone who's not a tzaddik and he's a tzaddik and not an Eved Hashem. So what defines someone, not the answer the Gemara gives, a different answer. What defines someone as an Eved Hashem who is doing his purpose in life of avoda, which is beyond the mitzvot? What's that referring to? And it's the mindset why you do the mitzvot. If a person does the mitzvot with a sense of a burden, with a sense of, if I'm obligated to do this, then I'll do it. If I have a tax to pay, I'll pay a tax. If the government obligates me to pay taxes, I'll pay them. Some people were born in America and they have to pay taxes to America even if they live in a different country. And some people were born Jewish and they have to put on tefillin every day. What can you do? That's like, I was born with this religion. That's the price you have to pay. That's point number one. That's the mitzvot. That's not our purpose in life. I mean, it's a third. Right? It's part one of the purpose, to do the mitzvot. Step number one is make sure you're doing it, even if you're not doing it for the sake of Hashem. Even if you're not doing it out of a sense of love. Even if you're not doing it out of a sense of connection. But you still do it. There's still a value in doing it. When Chabad put on tefillin on a person who's randomly walking past, it's unlikely that person has a sense of, I want to come close to Hashem. But they did a mitzvah. They did a mitzvah. They get reward for having done the mitzvah. That's on point number one, l'kayem mitzvot. But there's in point number two, la'avod. And la'avod is an additional point that we have to check in with ourselves that we're working on. And please note, we're now in Aseres Yemei Teshuva, which means that everyone now is doing a cheshbon nefesh. Where am I holding in my relationship with God? So the easy way of doing that is on point number one. It's, am I keeping mitzvah properly? Let me check in the Shulchan Aruch. Let me go through a list to see, am I keeping Shabbat the way I'm supposed to? Am I learning Torah the way I'm supposed to? That's easy. That's more technical. It's more of a checklist. But la'avod is beyond that. It's more of, what's my mindset towards why I do the mitzvot? What's my mindset towards davening? Not am I davening, but what's my position in with Hashem in my davening? Is it I come and I switch off my mind? Is it that I come and I'm questioning why I'm doing this? Is it that I come and I'm thinking about how to come close to Hashem and I'm actually speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as I'm... That's la'avod. That's doing the mitzvah with the mindset of a desire to come close to Hashem. And just like, I know I said this already a couple of times, but it's like the mashal that we gave of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Elazar in the cave, that when you go into the cave with a particular purpose, that's what you get out of it. And if you go in with the desire to connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then that's what you get out of a mitzvah. So point number two of the purpose of why we're here in the world is la'avod. And avodas Hashem means that as well as doing all the mitzvahs, you have to have the mindset of wishing to come close to Hashem through the mitzvah. The desire of wanting to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you're ensuring every time, you're always working on this, that in the same way as you're checking in with yourself that you're doing the mitzvah properly, you're also checking in with yourself that you have the healthy mindset towards why you're doing the mitzvah. And that could change. Day to day it could change. You could have sometimes when you're in the mood and sometimes not in the mood. And you have to check that overall who you are is someone who desires to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's point number two of why we are in this world. To do the mitzvah, to do God's mitzvah. But as well as that, to have the mindset of la'avod. And sometimes that will express itself in doing things which are beyond that dry halacha. Because one whose goal is not just to pay taxes, but their goal is to be altruistic, to connect, to have a higher mindset, then they'll also volunteer money. Oh, why are you giving more money to a cause you're not expected to according to the government? Some people give tzedakah because it exempts them from paying taxes. If they give it to charity, they don't have to give it to taxes, right? It's a tax exemption if they've given it to charity. So that's within the law. I have to give this money somewhere. Instead of giving it to tax, I'll give it to charity. If it's a better way of spending, I feel more holy by doing it in that way. But some people, they've already paid all their taxes. Right? They're not going to get any tax breaks or bonuses, and they still give charity. What are they thinking? Why would they do that? Avod. The Avod is going beyond. It's saying, I really care about this relationship. It's important to me. It's not just, what do I have to do to make sure that I'm on good terms? But rather it's, I want to embrace this relationship in even a deeper way. So going back to the mashal of a husband and a wife, if a husband doesn't do his basic chores around the home, and he doesn't say thank you for the basic things his wife does, and he doesn't buy her a present on her birthday, then he'll probably be in her bad books. You know, it won't be a healthy relationship. That's the minimum you need to do just to be on a good terms. And that's fine. If a husband could do that and be on good terms and say, anything else you need? No, okay, we're good. Fine, okay, can I go back to my football net? And she's happy and I can do my own thing. Fine. But a husband who, it's important to him to develop the relationship, he wants to have a more enhanced, more loving, more developed relationship. His mindset won't be, what's the minimum that she needs to be satisfied so that I can get on with my life? Rather, his mindset is, what can I do to make her happy? What can I do to develop this relationship? Lavod. And that's Avodas Hashem. It's not just thinking, what does God need in its tax way of like, I'll do what God wants and I'll get it done with. You know, just recently in Daf Yomi, the Gemara said that that the Anshei Yerushalayim, they would hold their lulav and esrog throughout the day. They would walk to shul holding it. They would daven while holding it. It says when they would learn, they would put it down because it would distract them from learning. Because that was another form of Avodas Hashem. And when they would do Hagbah, they would put it down because they needed to hold the Seor. When they reached Torah, they wanted to hold the Eitz Chaim. But they were holding the whole day. No, that's not a Chiyuv. There's no obligation to hold the Lulav and Esrog the whole day. So the Gemara says, what's this coming to teach you? Chavivus HaMitzvah. Just teach you the preciousness that they had of the Mitzvah. Because if it's an obligation, then tell me, Rabbi, how long will they hold it? No, just for a split second, you just hold it, shake it five, eight, six directions, you're done. Okay, I'll do it. That's what it says. Then I'll put it down. I'll go on with my life. The Chavivus HaMitzvah means you want to come close to Hashem. If this is what makes Hashem happy and I have thoughts of closest to Hashem, I'll do this. That's what I'm interested in doing. I want to go beyond and say Yerushalayim, it was Chaviv. And Hashem is Chaviv to us. And we're Chaviv to Hashem. Chaviv Adam and Ivra B'Tselem. It's precious in both ways. It's not about the obligations. It's about the developing the relationship. That's point number two of why we're here in this world. Which is funny because you would think, if it would say, why are you here in this world? It sounds more of an obligation. Why are you here? Right? Tell me the rule why you're here. But no, why you're here is to go beyond the why you're here. It's to go beyond the letter of the law. It's to develop the relationship. That's the ikar. That's the whole purpose. That's point number one and number two. Number one is mitzvahs. Number two is la'avod. And avodat Hashem going beyond mitzvahs. And number three, la'amod b'nisayon. To stand through a test. And this point needs clarification. We daven every day. Al tivi'eini lidei nisayon. Don't give me a test. And we spoke about David and Bat Sheva, where he asked for a test, and he failed in the test. So we ask Hashem not to test us. So how could it be that here we're saying the purpose of life is to be tested? That's our whole purpose. But you can see very clearly, there's two different types of tests. The test that a person puts himself in, and now we ask Hashem not to give us. Help me, Hashem, that I won't come to a test where I put myself in danger. Physical danger or spiritual danger. Help me, Hashem, that I won't put myself in a situation where I'm going to be tempted to look at something, to eat something, to do something inappropriate. Help me, Hashem, that I won't be in a place which is dangerous for me. Help me, Hashem, put boundaries around myself so that I won't even fall into an area which is risky. Al tevi'eini lidei nisayon. Help me, Hashem, that I won't come to a place where I'm being tested. David HaMelech asked to be tested, he failed. That wasn't a test that God gave him. He brought that upon himself. So we ask not to be tested, and we look not to be tested, and we ensure that we're not tested by never putting ourselves in situations where we're going to be tested. But when Hashem wants to build us, when Hashem wants to grow us, when He wants us to become greater than we currently are, then He will give us a test. Because no pain, no gain. Unless you're being pushed to your limits, you're not going to grow. The Baal HaTanya writes that when a person's learning, and he hasn't yet reached the point where he feels like he doesn't want to learn, then he's fulfilling the mitzvah of learning, but he's not breaking his own boundaries in learning. He's not going to become great in learning through that. When does a person become great in learning? When he reaches the point where he doesn't want to learn anymore. So for example, you're learning a Rashi, and there's a diuk in the Rashi that doesn't make sense to you. And a person reads it once, tries to get a pshat, doesn't make sense, he tries to read it again, doesn't make sense, he's like, okay, I want to move on now. So if a person moves on at that point, he'll carry on being mediocre in Torah. But if a person there, where he wants to move on, says, no, I'm going to push through, I'm going to understand this, and he pushes to understand, and he reads it again, and reads it again, and tries to understand it. Or alternatively, I'm not discussing a person who's learned until so late at night that he needs sleep, but rather a person who's learned that he wants to take a break now, a not justified break. Meaning, he just wants to have a break. Not that he needs the break to have enough rest. It's time he just feels like having a break in the middle of Seder. Oh, I'm thirsty, I need to drink water. He doesn't really need to drink water, but it's a good justification for taking a break in the middle of Seder. So, and then a person says, no, I'm learning now, and I'm going to push through. You want water? Okay, I can wait till the end of Seder. I don't have to drink right now, I can wait till the end of Seder. I'm sorry for bringing that now, I know it's right near the end of. But a person says, I'm going to push through, that's where a person becomes great in Torah. Because where you become great is not where you're learning, but it's where you show that you're willing to be moser for the sake of Torah. Because a Kodesh Baruch Hu gives greatness to a person who's willing to sacrifice for it. And when you're saying, the Torah is important to me, not where it's easy, but the Torah is important to me where I have to prove it, that I have to put in efforts for it. And it's like, it's 10:30 or 10:40 or 10:50, you're saying, oh, I've had it good enough, I'm going to go to my room now. You say, no, I can learn another 10 minutes, and I'm pushing through. And you push through, and you learn. And obviously, you'll find often, that extra half an hour that you do when you push through is the sweetest half an hour of the whole day. It's the most precious, because the rest of the time you're learning because it was Seder. Because you had to. But when you choose to learn and you push through to learn, often you get the most beautiful connection with Torah at that point. And the chidush that you get in that Rashi, you have a sense of sweetness in a much deeper level when you didn't feel like carrying on and you pushed through and you got pshat. The sweetness that you get from that Torah is much greater. La'amod b'nisayon. If you're not going to be challenged, you're not going to grow. People who are mediocre and everything goes smooth in their lives, they don't become great people. People who have challenging lives and they push through, those are the people who become great. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always send your way exactly the test that you need to take your next step in being great. Guaranteed. If you have a test that you failed, it's often because you didn't believe in yourself that you can withhold that test. Or you didn't believe in Hashem, that He gave you a test which you can handle. But if you're aware of this Mesilas Yesharim, that Hashem put you in the world la'amod b'nisayon, then by definition it means that if it was a test that you were sent by God, not one that you brought upon yourself, if you put yourself in a dangerous area that wasn't from Hashem, that one you probably will fail, chas v'shalom. But you can succeed in those two. But you don't have the hashkacha to pass those ones. There's no guarantee. But if you're in a place where you didn't ask for the test, but you were placed in the test, you should rejoice. The emotion that a person has when he sees he's being tested is one of joy. Now I can reach my next step. Just like the joy that someone has, lahavdil elef avdolos, when he's doing weights. And they say to him, you're ready for an extra 5 kilograms. You're an extra for the next step. You can take it. You can do it. He says, yes! I've accomplished. I'm ready for the next step. He's excited. He realizes he's grown. When you are tested by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you realize you're in a test, and you realize that means Hashem believes in you, that you can reach greatness, that you can withstand this test, that you can become more than you currently are. Hashem trusts you and He believes in you that you can uphold this test. Then the emotion is one of joy. It's one of, thank you HaKadosh Baruch Hu for believing in me, and Hashem, please help me out that I pass it. Because if you send it to me, it means that you believe me. Because the Gemara on the second Daf Gimel of Avodah Zorah says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't send a test to a person if he can't uphold it. So any test that Hashem gave you, you can uphold. So whether this is a test in areas of mitzvahs, to fulfill a mitzvah or not to fulfill a mitzvah, like we gave example of Torah, or whether it's a test of something in the world, like a test of a sickness of sorts, or an illness, and the test is just retaining one's faith, staying loyal to Hashem and not complaining and not bemoaning one's fate, but rather saying, I'm going to remain loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu despite the hardship that I'm going through. There's two different categories of tests. One test where everything is good, it's just hard. The learning's hard. The mitzvah's hard. Or one test is where life is hard. I have a challenge. I have a condition. I have some situation in my life which makes it hard. Whichever category of test it falls in, if Hashem gave that to you, it means that He believes that your greatness comes specifically through this test. If you wouldn't have this test, you wouldn't be who you could potentially be. And if Hashem sent it to you, that means that's who you can be. And He believes in you. La'amod b'nisayon is point three of this world. That's why you came to this world. Don't say, Hashem, what are you doing? Why did you give me this test? It's a mistake. No, Hashem's saying to you, the reason why I sent you to this world was to have this test and remain faithful and to push through. Those are the three reasons why we came to this world. Number one, to do the mitzvot. Number two, not just to do the mitzvot, but to have a connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu beyond the mitzvot. To be a chosid and not to be a tzaddik. To push through and show that you wish to have a relationship with Hashem beyond just the technical doing the mitzvot for the sake of doing the mitzvot. And point number three is to recognize that we're being tested and it's a gift from Hashem. And the emotion that you have when you're being tested is one of, I know this is hard, I'm climbing Mount Everest, it's not easy. When people are climbing Everest, they're not laughing the whole way. You know, they have a tense face, they're like focused. When you're in the challenge, you're not laughing, yes, give me tests, not at all. When a person's in a test, just like when you're climbing Mount Everest, you're very focused and you have a stern face. But when you get to the top, the smile comes out. That's when you really smile. And the only reason why you have a smile when you get to the top of Mount Everest is because it was tense all the way. But you pushed through and pushed through and pushed through. If you wouldn't have pushed through and Hashem would have said, okay, here's a helicopter, I'll take you all the way up, then you wouldn't be smiling. It's okay, I cheated. I didn't pass the test. The helicopter came and just brought me to the top. But the reason why the person smiles at the top is because they were being tested, they had a serious face the whole time when they were being tested. But when they got to the top, they know it's through their efforts and that they accomplished it. And this is what the reason why they came to the world. So have those three points in mind and you'll find that everything in your life falls under those three categories. Everything in your life falls under everything. Either you're doing a mitzvah or you have an opportunity to show Hashem that you love Him and you care for Him beyond the mitzvah, or you're being tested. Everything falls under those three categories. When you're doing your cheshbon nefesh, you'll see which categories it's under. Is this a mitzvah? Check myself there. How am I doing? Is this my emotional relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Am I connected to Him? Where am I doing in that? And what's my situation in life? Am I being tested? Is that what's challenging? Is that what's on my mind? Am I complaining? Am I blaming? Or am I saying, thank you Hashem for giving me a purpose? And I recognize that's my purpose. I'm going to see it through. Everything in your life falls under one of these three categories. When you have these three in mind, you're never sad. You're never disappointed. You never complain a day of your life. Because you realize, this is my mission. Everything that I'm doing, this is falling under my mission, my purpose. Just to hear these words made this whole year worthwhile. To recognize this is our purpose in life. To understand my life in the context of these three points. To put everything in my life, it all makes sense now, under one of these three categories. And then to have a mission. This is my mission. These three points are my mission statement. And now I'm going to go around fulfilling my mission statement for the years that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me. Shavu Gemar Chasima Tov.